a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
The coronavirus. Special coverage with David Dujanovic.
I woke up this morning to a text from guest host Connor Boyack, and I was just so excited to read about this new survey. Because I really do want to talk about homeschooling, because I'm perfectly incapable of homeschooling. But this new survey that Connor texted me overnight, by the way, wow, you're up really late.
Night owl.
Suggests a shocking number of parents will keep their kids out of the classroom this fall and homeschool them because they just don't want to risk them catching COVID-19 with a death toll in America up to close to 100,000 people right now. So in a moment, Connor and I are going to talk to former Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt. Yeah, I want to get his take on this, and I wonder if he'd do that, if he'd homeschool his kids. How about you, Connor? You homeschool your kids.
Yeah, we homeschool. Be interested to see, because it's a question of, are the schools safe? You know, is it okay for kids to go back, and are teachers going to go back? This poll found that 1 in 5 teachers, you know, are unlikely to return. You're going to have a lot of teachers who are probably looking for other jobs and don't want the, you know, the safety risk in their perception about having to go back into these, you know, petri dishes, as some are calling them. So it'll be very interesting to see what the long-term effect is on the school system.
Well, and you're already set because you have been homeschooling your kids for 6 years. So this isn't something that's new. For a parent like me, this would be brand new. It'd just be dropped in my lap and the decision I'd be trying to make over the summer. I got to talk more with you about what it takes to homeschool. Like, I want to know how many hours it takes, if it costs a lot more money, or if you get money back from the district because you've already paid taxes. So in 10 minutes, let's go in depth on what it's going to take to homeschool your kids if you make that decision, like so many parents are doing. But in the meantime, let's bring on former Utah governor and former Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt, who joins us every Wednesday at this time. Good morning, Governor.
Good morning, Debbie. Connor, nice to be with you.
We just spoke to your brother. Of course, County Attorney David Leavitt. I had forgotten that he had developed COVID-19, and he sounded healthy, but certainly still scary for him and your entire family, I'm sure. You know, as the U.S. death toll is now closing in on COVID 100,000 deaths with COVID-19, what's your reaction to that, and do you expect that to go a lot higher than 100,000?
Well, it will most certainly go higher. We don't know, obviously, the full extent of it. We're still now working toward what has historically been a second wave. We're still in the first wave. We're at a very stable point, at least in the state of Utah and in many states. There are states where the count continues to go up. So there's some uncertainty. And as we've said many times on this program, this is a long-term matter that we're going to learn to manage, not a problem we're just going to quickly solve. And our task now as a culture and as a society is to learn to manage that risk in the way that's best for us. And it'll be a little different for everyone. If you're a person who's over 65 that has an underlying health condition, you have a different set of circumstances. If you are 25 and healthy, your priorities may be different. Some people have a different tolerance for risk. We've moved into a period, at least for now, where most of what's happening are individual decisions as opposed to group decisions where we were closing businesses and doing things that affected everyone at the same time.
Mr. Leavitt, I'd like to actually ask you about that, these individual decisions. It seems to me, as I've been reviewing my, you know, social media feeds and what people are saying online, it seems to me there's been a bit of fatigue of experts, or even a failure of experts, I might say, where the CDC says, you know, don't wear masks and do wear masks and you can get COVID on, you know, surfaces and now you can't. And it seems that people are getting a bit confused and maybe in the process saying, you know what, I'm just going to assume the risk that I think is appropriate for me and do what I feel is best, go to the beach, reopen my business, go to church. Are we witnessing a failure of experts? And if so, what are the implications for the future?
Well, I think it's important for us to at least have some degree of, you know, we use the word tolerance, but these are, for the most part, not people who are maliciously doing things to confuse us. They're people doing their best to try to come up with conclusions in a situation where the evidence seems to change, where the circumstances, where we get more information. And so everyone is in a position of trying to do the best they can given the circumstance. In the end, we are all responsible for our own decisions. And we'll make them in accordance with our own sense of priority, our own sense of circumstances, and our own sense of risk tolerance. And do you see that among people? I do think that we're going to go into a period where that will our collective decisions will add up to our aggregate response.
One follow-up question. Looking back now, and even in anticipation of a potential second wave, as it's called, or a future mutation of COVID and so forth, do you think the lockdown was warranted, or do you feel that in the future, should there be a strong reemergence, that there should be a more, you know, targeted approach or an alternative approach that doesn't involve, you know, broad shutdowns of businesses and areas of where people congregate?
I like to remember that social distancing is a medical intervention. It was essentially medicine, the only medicine we had that we could apply to this broadly held chronic condition we had. Now, if you are a person who has had a painful ailment and you were given medication as an intervention, the doctor undoubtedly warned you that if you do this too long, or if you take too much of this, it's going to have side effects. And there's a point where the side effects are greater risk to you than the disease. And so we have to manage how we use these kinds of medical interventions. The same is proving true of social distancing. Clearly, there are side effects. The economy's been hurt. People are beginning to feel psychologically impacted. And it isn't something you can make a single judgment on everyone, but we're all beginning to feel impacted. I doubt personally that unless the circumstance got really dire in a second wave, that we would see the same kind of application of this medical intervention, or we start to close things in the same way. I think it worked. I think what we did worked, but I don't know that we can do it the same again simply because the side effects are dramatic enough that we might be able to, we have sustained it once. I don't know if we can sustain it again. We'll be better prepared for a second wave than we were the first wave. Part of this was we just didn't know what was coming, and so you tend to react differently in uncertainty than you do with some knowledge.
Governor Mike Leavitt, before we let you go, in about the minute we have left, we're going to be talking in about 3 minutes more in depth with Connor Boyack, who already homeschools his kids, but a new survey came out, and 30% of parents across the board are very interested or very likely to keep their kids out of the classroom this fall if schools reopen and keep them at home and homeschool them. I'm wondering, if your kids were still young enough, if they were in elementary school, would you make that choice? Because we just don't even have a vaccine yet. Would you make that choice to homeschool your kids in the fall?
I think it's a little early to be making that call. We don't know what the situation will be. We're not even sure the way the schools are going to be able to operate or not operate. And if I had school-aged children, I think I would be waiting to see how things look as we get close to the late summer or close to the time that school will open. It's important, I think, for all of us to remember that educating our children is a family responsibility. We have created public schools for the purpose of being able to help with that, and we pay for it through our taxes and so forth, and we expect certain things of them. But when it comes right down to it, educating our children is something, raising our children, still an individual responsibility. And we do lots of it together because we can do it better together than we do individually, but it's still an individual duty.
Well, it's a topic we'll be talking about in the minutes ahead, so stick around. We've been joined by former Utah Governor and former Health and Human Services Secretary Mike Leavitt. Mr. Leavitt, thanks for joining us.
My co-host Connor Boyack has homeschooled his kids for 6 years. I want to know if those have been six excruciating years, because I just don't think I'd have the bandwidth to do it. So I want to ask him a couple of questions. Let's go in depth on this. Does it cost more money? How many hours a day does it take?
Dave and Dujanovic.